So our work here, our practice here, is to begin to understand our minds, to cultivate this capacity for mindfulness, to direct towards understanding our minds, to understand how we get caught in suffering, and how we can move in the direction of freedom. And so our first task, our first thing that we need to explore is to begin to establish mindfulness. We all have various amounts of that in our daily life that does transfer into our retreat practice. But for most of us coming into retreat, this establishing this quality of mindfulness is what we do, is our effort, is our work. And that establishment of mindfulness is what allows us to see into our minds. And in our practice, this understanding our minds means that we need to see into the fullness of our experience, see the entirety of our human experience, and all of the mess that our minds make about various things, to see into that so that the mind can understand it. And in the understanding, as the mind begins to understand how it is constructing its own suffering, the mind also begins to understand how to let it go, how to recalibrate, how to release that suffering. And so this establishment of mindfulness at the beginning of any mindfulness retreat, this will be our task, is this establishment of some kind of steadiness of mindfulness. And the difference, I'd say, or the practice that we'll be doing in these days, the difference between that and perhaps some of the other practices that you've worked with, is that this practice begins with opening to that entirety of experience. Many other kinds of meditation practices pick something, kind of narrow our focus down for establishing mindfulness. We might choose the breath for a little while, or the practice of metta, some other experience to kind of narrow the focus so that we can stabilize the mindfulness on a simpler experience. And that can be really useful. And yet that's not the practice that we'll be exploring here. From the beginning, from the beginning, we explore the possibility of opening to whatever is arising in our experience. And so very much we are, with our first days of practice, exploring what is happening right now, what's arising right now, what's obvious in this moment, what is the most obvious experience, and can mindfulness meet that? And so our cultivation of this establishment of mindfulness, we are attempting to establish mindfulness not with a narrow focus, but really on the fullness of our experience. We could call this practice open awareness, receptive awareness, non-directed attention. And this, if you haven't done this kind of practice much, it can feel a little bit wobbly, let's say, because there's so much going on in the mind, and we may be used to picking something or stabilizing on some one experience, and we're familiar with that. It feels like comfortable, perhaps, to narrow the focus down so we can cultivate that established mindfulness. And so part of what we explore in these first days is learning to be a little more comfortable with this less specific kind of practice. Sometimes it can feel like the mind is all over the place. And yet the question is, are you aware of the mind being all over the place? Are you aware? This is our way into establishing mindfulness, is through recognizing or getting familiar with this experience of awareness, of mindfulness itself. We begin to get familiar with that quality of mindfulness itself, recognize that. And that becomes kind of our guide as to, is the mindfulness getting more stable? Or at times, there are definitely times when whatever is arising in our experience is stronger than our ability, our mindfulness. It's stronger than mindfulness. Sometimes something strong can arise and it just like swamps our capacity to be mindful. And so we also, in this practice of, it's like we kind of start with this like courage. Can I step into the entirety of my human experience and just see, can I meet whatever is arising? And then there are times that we can't. There are times when the momentum of some kind of reactivity is so much stronger than our mindfulness. And if that happens, then we need to take some action. And so the basic practice is really this receptive practice of what's happening, what's obvious. And yet we also need to start to learn when we can do that, when we can meet what's obvious and be with it, when the mindfulness can stabilize with it, and when we can't. And if we can't, then we can bring in some of our familiar tools to help stabilize the mind. It may be that you would bring in a breath practice or a metta practice if the mind isn't able to meet whatever is arising in the moment. And yet I do want to encourage you to explore this possibility of meeting unfamiliar experience, confusing experience, chaotic experience, because sometimes we have more capacity to do that than we give ourselves credit for. And it's almost from our ideas about practice, our ideas about what we can be with and what we can't be with, or what it's supposed to feel like, what we think it's supposed to feel like when the mindfulness is steady. And if it doesn't feel that way, then it must mean that I'm not mindful enough and I should bring in the breath or bring in the metta. But probably many, many times during this retreat, I'm going to be encouraging you to check first, am I aware? Not is this the experience I want it to be, but am I aware? Am I aware? That is really our touchstone. To support this, One of the key tools, one of the key kind of grounds out of which this checking or kind of stepping into, am I aware, is first to relax. Relaxation is so crucial for any meditation practice, actually. A relaxed mind is much more able to be present. We can sometimes think of when the mind is not relaxed, when it's tense, it's often caught in thoughts of past or future. And when the mind is relaxed, then there can be a very natural stepping into or meeting of, oh, this is what's here right now. And relaxing the body, to start, supports the mind relaxing. And so we'll start there in the first few days. There'll be a lot of encouragement to relax. Relaxing the body creates conditions that supports our mind relaxing. And when the mind is relaxed, it can very naturally be present, be aware. And so we start with some relaxation. Relax the body, relax the mind, and then, am I aware? Just right now, do you know that you're aware? You may not know how you know you're aware, but if you're listening here, you can know that you're aware. It can be very simple. So there's that knowing, awareness. And then there's this recognition of what awareness is aware of. Perhaps right now, sound. Sounds outside, the sound of my voice. So there's the awareness. And what awareness knows. Are you aware? And then what is obvious? This is this receptive quality of this practice, that we don't necessarily go out and look for something, direct the attention to land on a breath or a body sensation or a sound, but just relax. Are you aware? And what is obvious? Receiving experience. And then for a moment, it might be the sound. Maybe body sensations in the next moment. Sound again. Maybe a thought, a mood. Moment to moment, the experience can change. And yet there can be this steadiness of knowing, being aware. Sometimes I kind of have the feeling or the flavor of following the attention. In one moment, the sound. And then there's body sensation, the attention shifts to a breath, the attention shifts to. Can you be at ease with that shifting attention? Just knowing that you're aware. So this is this form of receptive awareness, receiving experience. We also explore the possibility, or the, we could say we kind of incline towards allowing whatever is arising to be okay. It is okay. It's just sometimes we tie ourselves up and have an idea that it's not okay. And so there's this kind of inclining towards allowing whatever's here. There's nothing that's not allowed in our meditation. Everything, we can be aware of everything. Mindfulness can meet all experience, can meet all experience. And yet, there are times, as I said before, where our capacity may not be quite strong enough. And so there are times when the mindfulness gets lost. And that's okay too. At some point it will return. And we just simply begin again. Mindfulness returns, aware again. What's here? Am I aware? What's obvious? And then from time to time, we also check in how we are with experience, how we're relating to experience. What's our attitude, is the word that Saito Tejaniya uses. What's the attitude in relationship to what's happening? So much of our suffering comes in how we relate to experience. And so becoming aware of that is an important piece of this practice. And so right now, are you aware? What's obvious? And what's the relationship? Is there frustration, a wanting, a confusion? Wanting something to happen, wanting something to stop happening. An okayness with what's happening. Different flavors of relationship. When we are not aware of what our relationship is, that relationship is kind of driving our experience. And yeah, just a simple act of recognizing, oh, what's happening is there's this sound and I don't like it. Or there's that sound and kind of wanting it to go on, or that body sensation and really liking it. That's the relationship. Liking is happening. We don't have to stop liking or stop not liking, but just know. Become aware. Oh, sound and not liking. That's what's happening right now. That's what's going on. And so ultimately, this practice is extremely simple. These are the key pieces of the practice. And we'll unpack them more over the coming days. Elaborate a little more about various pieces of them. And as we come into this community together, really settle as a community, It's really helpful to remember how we engage together as community. And that is what Diana will now speak about. Thank you, Andrea. Maybe I'll do a little sound check too. Maybe it's a little light or quiet, or is it okay? Okay. Is it okay?
Needs to go higher.
Is this, I think the volume's going up now. Okay. So as you all know, it's the tradition at the beginning of the retreat that we take the refuges and the precepts. And refuge has a number of meanings, including a place that's a safety, away from danger. But it's also a place that we can keep or hold things that are valuable to us. Like we have wildlife refuges. So in this way, kind of to take their refuges is to honor and respect and allow an expression of what is valuable to us, what's important to us, what's meaningful for us. Also, the act of our together taking their refuges is a way in which we can join our voices and kind of a way to kind of kick off this our community and the official part of the practice as we enter into this phase. And it's also a way that we can think of it as an expression of our intention to orient ourselves towards retreat practice. We're here now, entering this retreat. So as you know, we take refuge in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. There's a number of ways we can interpret these. One way is the Buddha as an exemplar, showing that it is possible to have a radical sense of ease, a radical sense of freedom. And the Dharma, the teachings that were offered by the Buddha to support our journey towards ease and freedom, to support our practice, to inspire us. And then the Sangha, of course, also has a number of different ways it can be interpreted, including all of us here practicing in community. We can be exemplars for each other. It can be enormously helpful to, it can be some comfort to knowing we're not the only ones walking this path. We can support each other in subtle ways, maybe in some obvious ways. But not only that, the Sangha is the field in which we can express some beautiful qualities. Maybe generosity arises. Maybe some loving kindness arises. Maybe compassion arises. So it also can be a field for which we can express them. So in this way, we can take refuge in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. And we'll do this officially by chanting in Pali. We'll do this in call and response. We'll start with homage to the Buddha. And we'll say that three times. And then we'll go into taking refuge. And we'll do all of this in call and response. So, to begin, Namo tassa.
Namo tassa.
Bhagavato Arahato.
Bhagavato Arahato.
Sama Sambuddhasa.
Sama Sambuddhasa.
Namo Tassa.
Namo Tassa.
Bhagavato Arahato.
Bhagavato Arahato.
Sama Sambuddhasa.
Sama Sambuddhasa.
Namo Tassa.
Namo Tassa.
Bhagavato Arahato.
Bhagavato Arahato.
Sama Sambuddhasa.
Sama Sambuddhasa.
And then to take the refuge in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. Buddham saranam gacchami.
Buddham saranam gacchami.
Dhammam saranam gacchami.
Dhammam saranam gacchami.
Sangham saranam gacchami.
Sangham saranam gacchami.
We're going to do this two more times, and we can do this together. For those of you who don't know, we'll begin with saying dutiyampi, which means for the second time. And then the third time we'll do tatiyampi. So instead of call and response, we'll do this together. Dutiyampi Buddham saranam gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhamman saranam gacchami. Dutiyampi Sangham saranam gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddham saranam gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhamman saranam gacchami. Tatiyampi Sangham saranam gacchami. So now we'll take the precepts. And the five precepts are a way in to support our practice. Can help create safety for all of us. Help kind of bring safety for the, create the community. Support the community, as well as safety support some of the letting go that this practice asks of us. It's also, practicing with the precepts is a discipline that supports our movement towards greater ease and greater freedom. We all know that there are some things that we do that aren't towards greater ease and freedom, and some that are. So the precepts are a way in which we can strengthen and this discipline of practicing in a way that diminishes our suffering as best we can. So we'll do this in English, and we'll do this in call and response. I think all of you know the precepts. I undertake the training.
I undertake the training.
To refrain from taking life.
To refrain from taking life.
I undertake the training.
I undertake the training.
To refrain from taking that which is not freely given.
To refrain from taking that which is not freely given.
I undertake the training.
I undertake the training.
To refrain from sexual misconduct.
To refrain from sexual misconduct.
I undertake the training.
I undertake the training.
To refrain from speaking falsehoods.
To refrain from speaking falsehoods.
I undertake the training.
I undertake the training.
To refrain from intoxicants such as drugs or alcohol that lead to heedlessness.
To refrain
from intoxicants such as drugs and alcohol that lead
to heedlessness.
Thank you. Let's sit together, and I'll offer a little bit of a guided meditation. Just beginning with relaxation. Relaxing the body. Maybe just scanning through the body, seeing if there are places where tension is held, and seeing if there can be a release or a relaxation. Relaxing the face, the head, the jaw. Relaxing the neck and shoulders, the arms, the hands. Relaxing the chest and upper back. All those muscles around the rib cage. Maybe taking a deeper breath at this point, which can stretch those muscles, support some relaxation of those muscles. Relaxing the stomach and abdomen, middle and lower back, the hips, the pelvis. Softening the legs, the feet. And then sometimes it's also possible, not always, but just check in if it's possible to relax a kind of deep inside the body. Maybe the inside of the throat can relax. Maybe the area around the heart can relax. Maybe the stomach and the intestines can relax. And then maybe too, the mind can relax. An analogy that sometimes can support this relaxation of mind. As if the brain were a muscle, maybe the brain can relax. As the body and mind soften a little bit and relax, release even a little tension, there can be this natural, easeful capacity to recognize, are you aware? Just recognizing that you're aware. And what is obvious? Maybe body sensations or sounds. Maybe a breath. Maybe an emotion or a feeling, a thought. Are you aware? It's okay if there's a stream or a flow of experience, changing experience. That's okay. Following the awareness, receiving whatever wants to come to you, settling back, letting yourself get out of the driver's seat for once. Your mind and body know how to receive experience very well. And you just let them do their job. Relax and receive. Are you aware? What is obvious? Of course, the mind will wander. You'll get lost in thought. Mindfulness will disappear. And yet at some point, just very naturally, nothing we can do actually, mindfulness will return. Of its own accord, based on its own conditions for returning. And when that happens, can you recognize that mindfulness has returned in just a simple way, aware again? And what is obvious? Can be helpful to check and see if in the wandering, tension has crept into the body or mind. And if that has happened, take some time to explore relaxing the body, relaxing the mind again. That relaxation is a condition for this very natural, easeful awareness to be present. And so allow the conditions of relaxation to support the mindfulness. Relax. Receive whatever is obvious. And can whatever is happening be allowed, not resisted or held on to, but just simply, oh, this is what's here. Are you aware? What is obvious? Moment after moment. What's obvious now? And now? And now? So we're ending a little earlier than usual this evening, so you can have some rest in these first few days of the retreat. You may need a little more rest, and that's okay. If you need to sleep, sleep. You might take extra naps after lunch or something. Do try to be here for the instruction sitting. But getting to retreat can be quite a drain. And just the momentum of our lives. Well, the way we usually live our lives is often at a pace that is not quite human. And so if you need to rest, do rest. And we will be here at 6 o'clock in the morning for our first sitting. And if you do have energy now to sit for a little longer, you're welcome to continue practicing until you're ready to take your rest. So rest well. See you in the morning.